First John. I've never preached systematically through First John, so I thought I'd give it a whirl. But I want to read, if I can, 1 John verses 1 through 4. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And I think, man, what an introduction. He says, this which was from the beginning. And he's talking about Jesus. But he goes on for a long time before he ever says Jesus' name. I mean, first he talks about that which we have heard. And then it's that which we have seen. That which we have touched. The word of life. The life. The eternal life. The Father, Son. And then finally, John gets around to identifying him as Jesus Christ. And, you have to just pause. Otherwise, it's just so easy to kind of read past some really remarkable things in the Word of God. And you need to, just stop and think, why is John going to such extremes? He is very passionate. I mean, instead of just simply reading over this, try to be John for a minute. I mean, his life has been radically turned every which way from meeting this more than a man. Whatever the destiny of his life was before Christ came, after he met Christ, his life changed. And John feels compelled to express to you that Jesus was more than an ordinary man. John wants you to know that. It's important to him. John emphasizes that he has seen Jesus with his own eyes. Have you ever been really excited about something only to discover that other people weren't all that excited about it? Don't you hate that? It's like, no, you don't understand. This new scope for my rifle is really awesome. This isn't just a normal scope. I can't talk about scopes, so I don't even know why I went down that road. I don't even have a gun. Waded into that one, didn't I? But you're all excited, and then there's no one to share what it's like. And so John, he is excited about this experience that he has had and how his life has been affected. And so he's trying to introduce Jesus, and he's trying to convey to us how important this man was. John emphasizes that he has seen Jesus with his own eyes. He says, I heard the man. I heard his words. I heard him speak. I've touched him with my own hands. I've looked upon him. And so instead of simply saying this, that he wants to tell us about a man called Jesus, he says that he was the word of life. He says that not only I say this, but we say this. There's many of us that had this experience with this man named Jesus. There are many witnesses to what I'm telling you. John tells us his motive for wanting to tell us about someone who is much more than a man, why he wants us to understand who this Jesus was. He wants us to be able to have the same fellowship with Jesus that he had experienced, that he had. He wanted us to be able to get on it, even though we haven't touch Jesus with our hands, even though we haven't seen him personally, even though we haven't heard him, you know, his voice speak personally like John did. He wants us to be able to have the same kind of life-changing experience in our lives that he had. And by doing so, make his and our joy complete. Now, if you stop to just take it in for a second, by taking in, I mean, just all the testimony of Christ. You look at all the writers, you know, all the things that are said, the stories that are told about him. And it's hard to dispute it. I mean, any reasonable person, that, you know, if you read the accounts and the testimonies and really, really just stop and think about these guys and what's making them tick, you know, it's hard to dispute it, to discount it. The likelihood that it was all made up is just, it's just impossible almost to accept that when you see how these guys were acting and the way that they talked about this man. When you read the Bible, you're listening to a lot of people give an account of something that was remarkable to them. It has changed their lives. It affected them. It impacted them. There are all these men and women who were quite excited. They have stories and testimonies. And just like us, you know, when we get excited, there's differences sometimes in our accounts. You know, it's like a group of people, and they're walking down at the state fair, and they see some tall guy. I mean, he's really not a tall guy. He is, like, really tall. He makes Brian look short. I mean, did you guys see that dude? Man, we saw this guy. He's like 10 foot tall. The other one, you know, the other guy said, no, he was at least 8 foot tall. And they're all excited about it, you know, but by listening to them, you know, you don't know exactly how high or how tall the man was, but you know that he was unusually tall. These guys saw something that got them all excited. Now they're running around, you know, and they're Facebooking it and Snapchatting, and I shouldn't talk about those things either because I don't know what they are. Well, I know what Facebook is. I don't know why I try to look hip. All it does is make me look dumb. And that's okay. I love you anyway. But, thank you. But anyway, these guys, so they're all telling a kind of a little different story, different version of it, but they paint a well enough picture. And so when you take all these accounts in the Bible and you see the enthusiasm of these writers and the things they say and how they express themselves and the stories and all of that stuff, you know, we get a well enough picture. If you listen to and consider all the testimonies and you see how motivated these people were to pass that testimony on to us, I mean, that they did so even at the likelihood of death. Have any of you ever told a story? I've told lots of stories. I sometimes like to be a storyteller. I mean, a lot of them were fictional. I would not tell one of them if it meant somebody was going to shoot me for it. And so for someone to, you know, to give their lives and to write these things and to die as martyrs and all that, I'm just telling you, something impacted their life. This man that they met was unusual. They watched a guy who walked on water. They saw him raise people from the dead and the people that he healed and the things that he taught. They watched that whole thing and they were around him. And I mean, it had an impact on their life. Something wonderful touched them. His name was Jesus. And he will touch you if you'll let him. Listen to John. John 1:5. He says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Simply put, when John says God is light, he just means God is the truth. There's things that are true and there are things that are lies. And God is truth. He's the light. If you want to know the truth, If you want the right perspective, then you use God as your source. Darkness, on the other hand, it's a lie. Lies are just darkness, okay? They're a false truth. The light's the truth. God is the anti-venom for the poison of a lie. You know, a lot of the things that we do in life, a lot of the reactions we have, a lot of the things that motivate our hearts are based on lies. They're things that aren't true. And yet we treat them like they are true. And that's like walking around blind. Every source that does not rely upon God relies upon darkness or lies. And you know, it doesn't matter how wishful our thinking is, or how much we want something to be so. It's not. If it's a lie, it's a lie. Every source that does not rely upon God relies upon darkness or lies. Someone might say, "Well, I don't think so." Well, you didn't rely upon the light to figure that out. You relied upon darkness, and your conclusion is wrong. And that's the truth. You can stand there and you can spew darkness out of your mouth 24/7. Of how you feel or what you think. But you cannot make a lie be the truth. You can't do it. Unless you blind yourself. You can make a lie be the truth to yourself. You know, unless you rely upon darkness. You can't make a lie be the truth. But a lie can never be the truth. You can only accept it as the truth. You know, and Joan was talking today about, you know, about personal responsibility and some of those things. And you know, a lot of that just has to do with the truth. And I don't know if you've ever been guilty of blaming something for your problem when it really wasn't the truth. I know that I've done that, and I know that I still do that, and sometimes it takes me a moment to get around to the truth, but man, that's hard, isn't it? And have you ever made a fool of yourself? You know, got both of your feet in your mouth at the same time? Something like that, and then later on, you know, you do not want to own that. To face that or to believe that, and so you make up things or whatever it is, and you try. But then if you come to the place where you finally are going to accept that you had both feet in your mouth and all of those kinds of things, oh man, there is this thing called humiliation. It's like nobody in their right mind would want to go to that place. But it's the truth. You know, there is a mantra, how do you say the word? Mantra in churches today, you know, be authentic. People don't want the churches of yesterday, they want authentic churches. I'm not sure the churches of yesterday weren't unauthentic or whatever the word would be, but, you know, we hear that. If you study church culture and stuff, and you know, you'll see a lot of people talk about trying to be authentic. But I don't know that what we call authentic is indeed authentic. I mean, a lot of the things, just to be honest with you, that we call authentic is really not authentic at all. It's like the opposite of it. Sometimes it's the opposite. Or another mantra is, you know, we want to be relevant. You know, the problem with the church today is so many of them are irrelevant, and we need to be relevant. But, you know, if you're not, the truth of it is, you know, if you're not compelled to give a testimony, like John gave his testimony, you know, if the testimony in you isn't burning like it was burning in him, you're not relevant. And, you know, we can make it about everything else we want to, but that's what makes us relevant. If I wear skinny jeans to be relevant, is that authentic? Now, I'm not against skinny jeans because I don't even know what they are. But since they have the word skinny in them, I am pretty sure they're not for me. You know, we're building a cafe here. And I'm not trying to be relevant by building a cafe. I'm trying to have fun. And, you know, I just want a place where people want to go. Because I like people. And, you know, instead of saying that we're trying to be relevant, why don't we just say we don't want to do things the way our parents did? Why don't we just admit that old people are boring? And we want something new. Old people are boring, we want something new. But no, we want to put all these nice words on it to make us seem like we're like, yeah, look at us. We're just trying to be relevant, authentic, and all those things. I don't know that doing things the way young people like makes it relevant, nor do I think doing things the way old people like makes it irrelevant. Young people can be more uptight sometimes than old people. I mean, an old person, I'm going to tell you something, an old person doesn't care if they have cheese in their beard. But a young guy, I mean, he looks in the mirror every 15 seconds. Every little hair has got to be cut just right. And if it doesn't grow out and look meaner and tougher than anybody else's beard, they cut it off. They are uptight. I mean, does that make a young guy relevant, me irrelevant? I mean, to tell you the truth, when I have cheese in my beard, at least I'm being authentic. See, you don't really want me to be authentic. You want me to not be authentic. So why do we go around saying we want a church to be authentic? You know, a lot of people, they think that being authentic means saying the mean things that they're thinking. According to them, when you spew bad stuff, when they spew bad stuff, and they're just being authentic, right? They're just telling you how it is. Somehow saying bad things becomes good, and saying good things becomes bad. So if I say good things, then I'm a fake, but if you say bad things, you're authentic. Or the other way around. I'm just simply pointing out that many times we are delusional, and what we call authentic or relevant is not always based on truth. Not always based on what's going on. Sometimes we just use a lot of defensive words to kind of cover over what's going on in our lives. How about sticking to the truth that comes from God? 1 John 1:6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. No, if we claim to be a Christian, but we're still believing the same old lies that we told ourselves before we were a Christian, if we're using the same old excuses, if we're excusing people in the same old ways, if we have the same old dumb opinions, you know, we've manufactured some sort of reality that covers over all of our problems, and somehow managed to live for so long and never really came face to face with what's wrong with us or what we need to change, that's not a road to success. If we claim to be a Christian, but we're still believing the same old lies, if we're still blinding ourselves and telling ourselves what we want to hear, and our flesh still decides what's good or bad, the truth is we're still living in a lie. And I'm not here to tell you what is a lie and not a lie. I'm not here to accuse anybody. But we, as individuals, we just need to be willing to come into the light. Get to the truth of the matter. Sometimes I understand that can be very humiliating. Why is it when a Christian runs a yellow light and sees a police officer, they immediately start planning lies in their mind about what they're going to tell the officer? Why do we do that? Or am I the only person that did that? Have you ever goofed up and immediately started planning the lie that you're going to tell somebody? But if we let the truth be our light, regardless of what our flesh wants, regardless of what others say, then we can be a part of the real family of God. We can get to the real stuff. The authentic family of God, which some may consider to be irrelevant. If you live according to the truth, then the blood of Jesus that was spilled for you can accomplish what He spilled it for. But if we insist on living in a lie, then we make His sacrifice null and void. If it isn't true, reject it. Get rid of it. Now, I understand that we can't just immediately always do that because we have weaknesses. But one weakness we can try to get rid of the soonest is to quit telling ourselves lies or believing them. You know, make yourself be real with yourself. Let's look at some truth. 1 John 1:8. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That wasn't my fault, that was your fault. We can claim that our sins are not imputed to us. That's true. As Christians, our sins are not imputed to us. That means God doesn't count them against us. We can claim that Jesus forgives us. He does. He forgives us of our sins. We can claim that God isn't mad at us. He hasn't been mad at us for over 2,000 years. I don't know that He was ever mad at us. In fact, He was so happy with us that He sent His Son to die for us so that He could get us out of the situation we were in. We can say all those things because those are things that God has said. And they're true. But we can't claim that we don't sin. Because that's not what God said. He said we are sinners. We sin all the time. Not doing the good that you ought to do is sin. Thinking stupid stuff, that's a sin. But that doesn't not seem to be the truth that people want to talk about. We don't like that kind of stuff. If you don't think that you are a mess, the truth isn't in you. Because if the truth was in you, you'd know you was a mess. Truth makes it very clear that you don't measure up, because truth is a light. And the brighter it shines, the more it shows. Thank Jesus that through faith in Him, we do measure up. You know, we can boast in Christ. But that's not the same as measuring up ourselves. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. He wants to set us free from our sins. He wants to forgive us, and He wants to purify us. He wants us to, you know, all of those things. But if we're sitting around living in a lie, not admitting that we even have a problem, blaming it on politicians or families or any number of other things. It's not my fault I'm not as tall as Brian. Picking on Brian this morning because he's over there looking like he needs to be picked on. I'm not sure what that looks like, but that's the truth I'm going by. It's his fault he look, you know, whatever. How can Jesus help you if you don't think you need help? If you choose to believe lies, how will you know that you even need help? First, you need to see that you need help, but that depends upon exposing ourselves to the light. So we need to acknowledge our sins. When the light comes and we see it, we need to just acknowledge that. God forgives us of it. We just need to quit acting like it didn't happen. Or that it's not the truth. So that we can get the kind of help that God gives. God wants to help you. You know, when a lie is exposed to the truth, it no longer looks like the truth. I mean, things that you thought you could never accept about yourself, you can actually accept them when you're willing to let the light shine on it. And that's when things start to get good, because that's when the healing starts to take place. When the light shines on a lie in your life, it looks exactly what it is. It looks like a lie. Oh, I guess I do have cheese in my beard. You know, I didn't want to be that guy, but I can clearly see that I've got cheese in my beard. I know you told me, but I didn't want to be that guy. So I'm sorry that I lashed out at you and accused you and called you names and all those things, but I just had told myself it wasn't true. I told myself I was being authentic. I guess I do need help. Yes, we do. We need help. Jesus said that. And now that we're willing to stop calling him a liar, we can receive the help that he brings. Things were messed up in the world, but Jesus came to help us out of them. He didn't get us into them. It's all our lies. He came to expose all that lying and all that stuff and all those fake intentions and all that stuff. He came to shine a light on it so that we could see that and we could start the healing process. He's the light. He shines his light and you're set free. You see, and when he shines a light on you, you see the infection that's in your wound. Have you ever seen someone with a zipper down and wondered whether you should tell them? If you see me with my zipper down, you should tell me. I will be embarrassed, but less embarrassed if I find out at the end of the day. I don't want to find out that my zipper was down after church. I want to know before church. I'll be humiliated, but one's better than the other. Or the collar's messed up. I didn't even check my collar this morning. Whatever it is. Or jewelry's hanging. You know, have you noticed things about people and wondered whether or not you should say anything to them? And you just decide to let them live in their ignorance? And why do we hesitate to tell someone, you know, to help them that way? Why? What are we afraid of? Is it because the truth can hurt, or because it has the potential to embarrass a person? You know, if we are that way with minor things, how are we with much more serious things? I mean, if the humiliation of telling someone their zipper's down is so grievous, I mean, how can we ever get to the things that God wants to tell us? If we get mad when someone points out a minor imperfection, how can we like the light that comes from Jesus? But when you fix your zipper and your collar, you know, and you get the cheese out of your beard, or you fix the smudge on your face, then the light can expose your beauty. How many of you ladies painted the barn today? That's what I come from my wife. She says that and everybody laughs when I said it. You all look like me with scorn. Oh, they say, you know, you got to put the makeup on. Oh, you know the term? All right, so you put the makeup. How many of you ladies spent whatever amount of time it was putting the makeup on so that you could come to church and humiliate yourself with a big smudge in the wrong place? I bet you put all that on and took all that time so you could come to church and be beautiful. And so when you, some of them, when the smudge is exposed, and you know it can be humiliating, but you can go fix it, and then the light can shine on that beautiful face that you have. That's the goal. God just wants to make you beautiful. See, maybe now that the lights are on, you'll see that you're not on the road at all. Sometimes we wonder if we're on the right road. Well, maybe some people aren't even on the road. Maybe you'll see the obstacle that's in front of you. Maybe you'll see that it isn't your spouse's fault or all their fault. Did someone say amen to that, or did they say that's not an amen? I couldn't quite hear that, but whatever. If Jesus only wanted to expose your weaknesses and humiliate you, if that was his own purpose, then maybe you'd have a reason to turn away from him. I mean, a lot of people do that. They just want to expose you and humiliate you, and that's their only intention. You know, we run into critics all day long. The accuse. But if Jesus was like that, you know, I would tell you, you'd be wise to ignore him. If you run into naysayers that are always just dumping on you and saying crazy stuff or whatever it is, I just don't even hang around those people. Just ignore them, go on. Except what Jesus says, not what they say. And so when Jesus comes and turns on the light to expose us, if his only intention was to humiliate us, I'd say don't listen to him, but that's not why he comes. Jesus isn't coming to accuse you and humiliate you. He's coming to bring you aid. He's coming to clean up a mess. He's coming to make you beautiful. He is an exciting thing that we should look forward to. When the truth hurts, it isn't the truth that hurts, it's the exposure of a lie that hurts. But at the end of an exposed lie is healing. But left alone, a lie kills. You know, as a pastor, you know, I struggle sometimes. I try to balance exposing lies with people's ability to tolerate it. I mean, a child won't even let you look at a sliver. You know, when all you're trying to do is help them, they don't let me look at that. They run off. They don't even let you look at that thing. While a burly man, like John over here, he'll use a big knife. Start whittling on that thing. Jared gets out the chop saw. No. You know, avoiding the light and truth is avoiding help. When I was a teen, I waited too long to go to a doctor. I had a small scrape on my ankle and it got infected. And it got so bad where I couldn't hardly walk. I went to the doctor and sure enough, they gave me penicillin and all that stuff. Back in those days, they gave you penicillin. And it cured up. He told me, threatened me and told me how close I was to losing my foot and yada, yada, yada. You know how doctors are. They always exaggerate. Oh, wait, maybe I'm not accepting the truth. But anyway, the doctor, to make his point, he held up his hand and showed it to me, and I'd never noticed all the time I'd been to him, his middle finger was gone. In Now, if you lose a thumb, people are going to notice that, or your index finger stuff. But you lose the middle finger, people won't even notice that. You got like four there, and so he had lost. He said, and he held it up and said, "You see that missing finger?" Whoa, that was interesting. And he said, "That's a result of a sliver that I hid." And so he wasn't very much for hiding wounds. I don't want people to run off because they're afraid of pain and humiliation, but at the same time, I don't want their wound to go untreated. And so you're always trying to, strike that balance with in people's lives. I was whining to God about this dilemma, poor me, of needing to expose weaknesses without torpedoing people, without preaching condemnation and yada 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 and all these things. And he just told me to make sure that I was loving people and not judging them. And then after that, I didn't have to worry about it. There's a story about a man with a plank in his own eye trying to help someone with a speck of dust in their eye, and God's advice was to first get the plank out of your own eye and then you would see to help the man with the speck in his own. He didn't say don't help the man with the speck. He just said you should try to get the plank out of your own first. I mean, I don't want you coming at me with no big knife, John, if you don't got a big plank in your eye to kind of get a speck out of my eye. Forget that. So what I found out is that love is plank wash. Love is eye wash. We need, to help each other. Being relevant and authentic is not keeping the lights off. John believed in Jesus because of what he saw, heard, and touched. I believe John's testimony. And I believe in Jesus. Amen. That which was from the beginning. That which was heard. That which was seen. That which was touched. The word of life. The life. The eternal life. The Father, Son. I believe in Jesus Christ. Because He's the light. He's truth. And He'll save you from everything that comes to harm you. Jesus is so good. We just need to make sure that we open our hearts to Him, to the light that He brings. And that might mean some real business for some people. Some people have bigger wounds. Some people have been hiding bigger things. Some people have carry more fear. And so it's different for every one of us. But I'll tell you what's not different, and that's the love that Jesus has for us. He loves us so much, and all He wants for you is the best in your life. And I know sometimes it's hard for our flesh to want to let loose of a lie. Sometimes we've believed something for so long we can't even recognize it anymore as a lie. But the person God wants you to be is based upon the light, not on darkness. Life is too good. The grass is coming up. And God wants you to be a part of that. He doesn't want you to get to the end of your years and live in regrets. We all make mistakes. We all have regrets. But that doesn't have to be the end of our story. That's just the beginning. God has so much more for us. The world is... Joe was complaining today about things like people not keeping their word and those kinds of things. And some people keep the word. Some people are getting better at it all the time. But the world does seem like a place sometimes that's losing its shine. But Jesus is coming to restore, to make everything the way it's supposed to be. And you don't have to let the shine be taken off of your life. You don't have to let the darkness creep in on you, cover you, suffocate you, little by little. You can live in the light. It can be a new day. The sun can come out on you. You can get up with anticipation in your life every single day instead of regret, knowing that the God of wonders loves you and has done everything to make it possible for you to have the best life. Father God, I thank you so much for today. Lord, if there is one here today that does not know you, I would pray that they would open up their hearts just to let some light come in. That the first thing that they would hear is that you love them. That you've never been far away. That you've always been there. You were that little whisper that said, this is the way. You were the little whisper that says you can. You were the little whisper that said, don't go there. You're the tiny whisper that said, I love you. Follow me. Father, I thank you, Lord, if there be one here that's shut the door to you, closed off the door. Maybe they've been sensitive to you in times past, but the lies and life has taken its toll, drug them away. Lord, I thank you that your light can drag them back. I thank you that every person that leaves here today leaves, Lord, with a fresh start, a new start. Excited because the healing is finally coming to their life. Answers are finally coming. Changes are finally coming. We give you praise for that today. So good to us. If anyone of you today would like prayer, I'd love to pray with you about anything you'd like to pray about. I'd like to add my faith to yours. I love you so much. I know God loves you more. And you know, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to talk to me about that, come on up. I'd love to pray with you about that also. God's a good God. Don't run from him, run to him. Praise the Lord.